couple of years ago, I was on my way back from a gospel meeting, and I was listening to country music. Now, I was in Virginia, up around Washington, D.C., and it was hard to find a country music station there. But I finally found one, and there was a song on by Tim McGraw, "Live Like You Are Dying." And I began to think about some lessons that were along that vein of thinking. Live like, and then a number of lessons came to mind. I've been meaning to do a series like that for a couple of years since that time, and finally I'm getting around to it. And so I want to begin sharing that series of lessons with you today. This morning I would like to share the lesson with you, Live Like You Are Dying. A little bit different than the song. And I still don't really know what the song is talking about, Live Like You Were Dying. That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Live Like You Are Dying. And I want this lesson today to remind us of our mortality and that we are to live every day as if it is our last. Turn your Bible with me this morning to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And I want to begin in verse 35, a rather lengthy reading. Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. And here Jesus is teaching us about being ready. And he tells us to be clothed in readiness. And of course, all of us here this morning have clothes on. And so we're clothed in something, the physical clothing we have this morning. But Jesus is saying, be clothed in readiness. Let your whole being be ready. The thing that you are about today is to be ready. Be ready for the Lord to return and be ready to die right now, today, every moment of your life. Jesus says, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Now, you know, a lamp at this time was something you would keep oil in, and it would have a wick, and you would light this, and it would be fire, and you would have to put oil on in these lamps every few hours. And so it's something you had to constantly do. Throughout the night, you would get up every few hours. You'd put more oil in your lamp and go back to bed for a little while and get up again. And you would do this several times during the night. And Jesus is using this to tell us how important it is to stay ready and to be ready. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. And so we're ready, we're right at the door. When the master comes, he knocks, we're right there. We've got our hand right on the door handle. We don't have to get out of bed, we don't have to get dressed, we don't have to do whatever we have to do. We're there, we're ready to go right there that very instant. And that's what we have to do regarding death. The Lord could come right now before I finish this next sentence. We could die right here today. And we have to be ready for death. When death comes or when the Lord comes, there's no time to get ready. There's no time to prepare. Either you're ready or you're not. Either you're saved or you're lost. There's no two ways about it. And so we must be ready. Verse 37. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. And so we have to be on the alert. And how many of us are really on the alert today? How many of us expect to die today? How many of us expect the Lord to come today? How many of us are anticipating this to happen today? I would suspect you are not anticipating it. I'm not either. This is a hard thing to do. This is not an easy thing to do, to be ready to die right now. But that's what the Lord teaches us to do. Be ready right now, be on the alert, and be waiting. Verse 38. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. Now this is talking about in the middle of the night. Even if the Lord comes at midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning, be ready. Now, are you ready when you go to sleep at night? Are you ready? Do you understand that the Lord could come in the middle of the night? My mother, in particular, who tucked us in when we went to bed, taught us the prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep." And that prayer is asking God that if He comes in the middle of the night, to take our soul and to keep it. And we need to be ready in the middle of the night. When we lay our heads down on the pillow, we are to be ready, knowing that we may never open our eyes again in this life. Are we ready? Jesus then says, verse 39, "But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." And so Jesus is saying there, if everybody knew that they were going to die next week on Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody would be ready. But that's not the way that it works. Death usually comes at a time we do not expect it. Even for those who are very ill and know that they're going to die pretty soon, they usually die at a time that they don't expect. I've seen it time and time again. A loved one is in the hospital and is very sick, been in the hospital maybe time after time after time, and everyone in the family knows this individual is going to die of this disease, but at that very moment when that one dies, it's a surprise because nobody knows when it's going to happen. And so we have to be on the alert. We have to be watching. The Lord is not going to come at a time when everybody expects. Death usually does not come at a time when everyone expects, but at a time that one does not expect. In Thomasville, I served as a volunteer chaplain, and of course being called in there usually at a not at a good time, at a bad time, and oftentimes people have died or about to die. And I was called in one time for a man who quite honestly looked like he was a Hell's Angel or something such as that, and had his body tattooed just as far as you could see. And I was called in because this person wanted to be saved. And loved ones were there, a wife and a daughter, and they had been reading the Bible there in the hospital room. And they called me in because they knew this one wanted to be saved. And so I went just as quickly as I could go. And by the time I got there, he was in a coma, and he never got out of that coma. You see, he waited too late. He waited too late to ask for help, to try to learn about the Bible, to try to learn about the Word of God, because by the time I got there, it was too late. His time was over for obeying the gospel. He was not ready. He was not on the alert. He was not ready for his master to come so that he could immediately open the door. He was not ready. Jesus continues to tell us in verse 41, as Peter asked the question, "Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, 'My master will not be a long time in coming.'" You know, people are saying that today. People are saying that in their heart. They're saying, you know, death is a long way off. You know, the Lord's not come for some 2,000 years. The Lord's probably not coming today. And odds are that He's not. If you want to go by percentages, He's not. But you know, folks, you're going to be saying that exact same thing the day that He does come. The Lord's probably not going to come today, and lo and behold, there He is. And people are not thinking that they're going to die today. People are thinking that they're going to live today and tomorrow and next week. And some today in the world are thinking, you know, I've got many, many years to correct my life. I can basically sort of do what I'm doing today, and I can basically just keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm doing some right things, I'm doing some wrong things, but you know, I've got a lot of time to correct these things. And don't you know, some Christians are thinking the same thing also. Some Christians are thinking the same thing to say, well, you know I need to do this and I know I need to change this, but you know, I have a long time to do it. Aren't we planning for the long haul here? Aren't we planning to be around here for a long time? And so I have a long time to make these changes in my life. And that's not necessarily true. Jesus says, blessed is the one who's ready when he comes. Those are the ones who are going to be blessed, not those who are wasting their time, verse 45, and beating the slaves and eating and drinking and getting drunk. Verse 46, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he does not know and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. And so Jesus is teaching us the importance of being ready. Be dressed in readiness. Be alert. In other words, live every day as if it's your last. Live every day as if it's your last. Live every hour as if it is your last, because it might very well be your last. We'll make some application of that in just a few moments. But now I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And again, Jesus is teaching us about being ready. But also with this, he's teaching us that we may have to be ready for a long time. And he really taught the same lesson in the previous parable that we read. And of course, this is the parable of the 10 virgins. And you remember how this parable goes. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And you'll remember that 5 virgins were prepared and they were ready. You see, none of the 10 virgins that night, that day, had any idea how long it was going to take for the bridegroom to get there so that they could enter into the wedding feast. 5 of them were not prepared. Obviously, they thought that, well, you know, the bridegroom's going to come and it's going to happen pretty quick. So, you know, I got to be ready for a little while, but that's going to be it. Others realized that the bridegroom could be delayed and that they had to be ready for whatever happened and whatever occurred, and they may have to be ready for a very long time. I want you to see what happens. Those 5 who were only partially ready, that weren't ready to be there for a very long time, their oil ran out. And then all of a sudden, here comes the announcement that the bridegroom is coming, and they said, oh no, we're out of oil. And they said to the other 5, said, give us some of your oil. They said, no, we can't do that. Then we won't be ready. You have to go and buy your own. They ran off to buy their own. They came back and it was too late. The bridegroom was already there. He had gone into the wedding feast. The door had been shut and that was the end of that. There are some people, unfortunately, who begin doing the right things and they're ready for the Lord to come and they're zealous. But over time, they're no longer prepared. They're not ready for the Lord. They go back into the world of sin or begin playing with sin and these types of things, and they're no longer ready because of that. Notice what happened here. Verse 10. And while they were going away to make the purchase, that's the 5 foolish virgins, the bridegroom came and those who were ready went in with him in the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. And I want you to notice this, that after the wedding feast had begun and the door was shut, there was not a second chance. If we are not ready when the Lord comes, there's not a second chance. Now, isn't that really the message we see in Hebrews chapter 12 in our Bible class this morning? The message of Esau. See that none of you fall short of God's grace and be a profane or immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his birthright for a morsel of food, and then realizing what he had done after he lost his birthright, what did he do? He wanted it back with tears. But could he get it back? The answer is no. If we sell our spiritual birthright, right, our heavenly birthright, and we leave this life without it, we'll be in hell and we'll be crying all the tears that we can cry, but we'll never get that birthright back. Why? Because we weren't ready. We weren't alert. We weren't ready when the Lord came or when death came, and there's no getting it back. There's no second chances. We have this life. And that's it. I wanted to have a couple of illustrations here with the fact that we must be ready and death can come at any time. And so I began to search for some illustrations. And I found one that you have probably heard before. And it has to do with a song in our songbooks titled, "It Is Well With My Soul." And you'll remember the story, how it goes, of the writing of this song. Horato, Sapperford, in the autumn of 1873, put his family on a ship, Ville du Havre, best I can pronounce it. I should have consulted Pam, who's taking French. Put them on this ship from New York to France. And he had to stay back in New York on business. And his family is traveling along on the ocean. And the ship runs into another ship. And it ends up that the lady lost her three oldest children and was clinging on to her baby. And the baby finally was whisked away into the ocean. She was unconscious. She woke up and she had been rescued. Her husband hears about this and he gets on another ship and he's going to France to meet up with his wife. And as they go in the general area of where this vessel, Ville du Havre, had sunk, as it came to his mind the episode in which his four children were taken away in the middle of the night. Early in the morning, unexpected, no one expected those children to die. That night, he wrote the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Whatever the Lord would have me to endure and to go through in this life, it is well with my soul. But I'm telling you something, those four kids did not expect to die that morning, early in the morning. Another one came to mind, and this is one ever since it occurred. I cannot get it out of my mind, and I know I've used it here before, and I'll probably use it from time to time. And that is the story of Casey Bernal, 17 years old. She was the young lady in the Columbine murders that died. She is the one who is asked by one of these students with guns, "Do you believe in God?" And she said yes. She did not hesitate, and she said yes. One of the other students who witnessed this said she was scared, but she sounded strong when she said yes. She was scared, but she sounded strong. The gunman asked why, and before she could reply, he pulled the trigger, shot her through the temple, and she died instantly. I'm going to tell you something. Casey did not expect to die that day. About 11:30 in the morning at school. She went to school. And I guarantee you she did not expect to die at school that day or she would have stayed home. You see, death can come at any time. In ways that we never expected. Who expected students at Columbine High School to have guns and start murdering their classmates? Who ever thought that that would happen? You see, it can come in ways we don't expect, that we don't anticipate, that here it is and it happens, and if you're not ready, it's over with and it's all gone. We have to be ready. We have to be ready. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. This morning we need to know that Jesus is ready. 1 Peter chapter 4. and verse 5. Speaking of Christians here, but they will give account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Jesus is ready. Jesus is ready right now to come back. Jesus is ready right now to come back, that the world is burned up in fervent heat and it is destroyed and judgment. Jesus is ready right now for us to stand before His throne and to be judged. Jesus is ready. We better be ready. Turn your Bibles also over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. I'm telling you something else. The church is ready. The church is ready. The church is composed of Christians, God's elect, faithful to Him, and they are ready. The church is ready. Turn your Bible over to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2. 21 and verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Brethren, we have to be ready. We have to be ready for Jesus Christ to return. We have to be ready to die. It can happen at any time. It can happen at a time we don't expect. It can happen in a way we do not expect, in a way that we do not anticipate. Jesus is ready right now to come back and judge us. And His church is ready. If you're faithful to the Lord this morning, you are ready. Well, I want to think about some things with you this morning, and I want to ask you some thought questions. And I would like for you to think about these things within yourself this morning. How would you be different? How would you be different if you lived every day as if it were your last? Now, I know that we literally cannot do that. Because if we knew it was our last day, and if it was on a Tuesday, we wouldn't go to work that day. No use to go to work that day. And there's some other things perhaps we would not do knowing that it was our last, but spiritually though, what would you do differently if you knew it was your last day? Would you be more spiritual if you knew it was your last day? As Timothy read for us this morning from Mark chapter 8, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? We'd be thinking about our souls. We'd be thinking about our spirituality. We would be really spiritual if we knew this was our last day. And then we knew the next day came, and it was our last day. We'd be more spiritual than we had been before. Would we think more about our salvation? Will we think more about our salvation? Will we think more about the blood of Jesus Christ? Jesus who redeemed us not with silver or gold, but with His precious blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Would we think about our salvation more if we lived every single day as if it were our last? Would we think about our obedience to Jesus Christ, who became the author of eternal salvation of those who obey Him? Would we think about our obedience? Would we ponder these things? Would we make sure that we're doing the right things? Would we make sure that we're not exchanging our soul for some earthly material thing? Would we make sure that we're obeying Jesus Christ? Would we be more serious about that? Would we not be so complacent or so lackadaisical? I've got another few years to worry about that. No, you don't. Today is the day. Today is the day to worry about it, and today is the day to do something about it. Would that be our attitude? I think that it would. How about death? What would we think about death? Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul talks about putting off this earthly tent and being clothed with our spiritual body. Would we think about death? If we lived every day as if it were our last, would we know that death is right here, it's right at the door, that the door could be opened at any time, and we would be anticipating this spiritual body no longer to be away from the Lord, but to be at home with the Lord. I'll be at home with the Lord today. Today is the day I'll be home with the Lord. Would we anticipate that more? Would we think about that more? How about judgment? If we knew this was the last day, would we think about judgment? Could you imagine? Could you imagine at 5 o'clock this evening, standing before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ instead of being here? Could you think about that? What would that be like? I tell you what, that's going to be the most awesome thing I've ever experienced. It's going to be absolutely incredible we really can't even conceive of it. In just some symbolic terms, to stand before Jesus Christ and see Him and give an answer for the things we've done in the body, whether good or bad. To hear our names as they are in the book of life. And therefore, we do not enter into everlasting condemnation, but we enter into heaven. Would we care more about our daily relationship with the Lord? If we knew it was our last day, what would our prayer life be like? I tell you, mine would be better. I'd be praying more. I'd be more earnest in my prayers. And I think all of us would here. What does that tell us? That tells us we need to work on these things. That we need to think about this more. How would our reading of the Scriptures and the Word of God be if we lived every day as if it was our very last? I tell you what, I'd be reading this Bible a little bit more, wouldn't you? I sure would. What does that tell me? That tells me I have some work to do. How about assembling with the saints? You know, it's a little easy. You know, when you're not feeling too good or life's been a little crazy, it can be easy to come up with a reason not to assemble with the saints. I know that because I've done that. And I suspect many of us have, especially in our youth. It's very easy to come up with a reason, you know, when you could have pushed yourself just a little harder and been there. But it's just easier not to just put that last final bit of effort in there and just say, you know, I'm sick. I don't feel good. You know, I need to stay here. Well, I tell you what, if we knew this was our last Sunday to assemble together, that we'd all put in that little extra effort if we needed to. And that's not to say if you're sick that you need to come. Please don't. We don't all need to get sick. But if we can, put in that extra effort. And I tell you something else. I should have gone to bed last night a little earlier. I was falling asleep in my chair. I was saying, oh man, I don't want to go to bed at 9 o'clock at night, you know. I'd have been in bed a little bit earlier. I can guarantee you that. I'd have been up a little bit earlier. I'd have been a little more awake and a little bit more alert this morning because I knew this was my last time to come here with the saints. How about the Lord's Supper? Would that be a little bit more meaningful? I don't know about you, but it's hard to keep your mind focused on those things and not let it wander because I know I got to come up here and do a sermon. I got things I got to worry about. It's hard to stay focused on that. But the Lord's Supper is more important than this sermon. And our thoughts and our mind and our concentration and the things that you do as you sit in the pew, whether you're praying or reading Scripture or meditating to yourself. And as I anticipated seeing Jesus Christ later today, as I thought about this supper and what He did for me so that I could be in heaven with Him today, my thoughts would have been more directed today toward the Lord's Supper. And what does that tell me? That tells me I have some work to do there. I think I'd also care more about people than if I knew this was the last day. If I lived every day as if it was my very last day, I would care about people more. And yes, it's hard for us all to live by the golden rule every single day, every moment. And you know, I slip sometimes just like everybody else. A few weeks ago, I was in at a store, and you know, all the employees were standing around twiddling their thumbs, not caring about any of the customers about that, and I'm getting aggravated about that. You know, and I've walked around and walked around and walked around. Nobody asked, can I help you? And I was going to walk around and just see how long it's going to take. And I finally found what I needed. And then somebody asked me, can I help you? I said, no, you can't help me. You could have helped me, but now you can't. Now, I really shouldn't. I should have been a little bit nicer. You know, I may have a chance to study the Bible with that fellow one day. I don't need to turn him off like that. And that was a mistake. I wasn't mean. I wasn't ugly. But my speech was not as gracious as it could have been. If I knew I was going to see Jesus later on that day, I probably would have said something a little bit different, wouldn't I? Probably would. What does that mean? That means I need to work on that. How about our relationships with our family? We can all improve with our relationship with our family, with our parents, with our children, with our husbands and wives. How about teaching our children to serve God? And I can do a better job with that. Certainly, all of us can. But if we lived every day as if it were our last, if we lived every day as if we knew Jesus was coming today, I'd probably made a little bit more effort yesterday in teaching the kids and going over their Bible class. You know, it'd been a long day. I was tired. And looked at their Bible class stuff, went through it, asked a couple of questions. I could have done a better job. It wouldn't have hurt me to do that. You see, that shows me I need to work on that. Respecting our parents, expressing our feelings and our love for one another and for our family, making friends and not enemies, being a good boss and teacher and citizen, being a good employee, a good student, a good community leader. We can all improve in all of these things. How about in encouraging our brethren? You know, if we knew it was our last day, we'd probably all be over to see Louise Tyler, who's in the nursing home now, who was in the hospital. And I could have done a better job with that. I could have. And we all could have done a better job with that. And encourage our brethren. And to do what we can. Make a phone call. Write a note. We could do a better job with that. How about leading people to Christ with the Word of God? And we all can do a better job with that too. I can do a better job with that. And you know, sometimes I could turn the TV off and I could have made a few more calls. I could have made a few more visits. I could have stopped by. I could have gone over to the neighbor when he's working in the garage and the garage was up and I saw him over there a time or two. Did I stop over there and talk this week? I didn't stop over there and talk this week. Could I have done that? I could have done that. But I didn't do that. And what does that tell me? It tells me I can improve on those things. You see, the fact of the matter is we all can improve on everything. We all can improve on everything. And we all need to take the next step and improve at it. And if we realize that the Lord could be back at any day, if we realize that we could die unexpected in a way which we can't even begin to imagine, then we'll do a little bit better at these things. And once we do a little better at them, we'll start all over again. And we'll do a little bit better again. And we'll do a little bit better again. And we'll do a little bit better again. Are you ready for the Lord to return? Are you ready to die? If you're a faithful Christian, a member of the Lord's church, you're ready because His church is ready. And Jesus is ready to judge. If you're not a Christian this morning, or if you're a Christian that's fallen away from God, won't you consider correcting your life today? Won't you consider becoming a Christian and be ready today? I hate to tell you, this may be your last chance to get ready. Please get ready today. If we can help you in any way this morning, step to the front as we stand and sing.